The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We've been talking about fake news, using that as a kind of a launching pad for this series. And it's been interesting. Oh, we don't have it up yet. It's still working on it. We've been using this text from the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And it said, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who calls you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." I think that's been the hallmark of Christianity since the beginning. Well, I can even go back further than that, go all the way back to the garden, causing confusion by saying things that are not as if they are, telling lies as if they're true. And it just seems to be a never-ending cycle. I've been serving the Lord for some 40-some-odd years, and I've just seen every twist of the gospel you can imagine people come up with and just tweak it in a direction that ends up in a train wreck. If you don't hear anything else I said this morning, I want you to remember this and take it with you. Any truth pushed beyond what the Bible says it is becomes a heresy. Any truth pushed beyond what the Bible says it is becomes a heresy. And I'll be talking about some of that this morning, and you'll see what I mean. We've talked about fake news being you're free to believe whatever. And as we went through that, you're not free to believe whatever. You can, but you'll be a train wreck one day, believing things that are not true. We spoke last week about the Bible is full of errors. That's the fake news. People say, you can't trust it, it's full of errors. And I think we proved pretty well last week that it's not full of errors. We have the Word of God, which is perfect, entrusted to imperfect people. And our imperfect minds will get us confused about things. And I want to attack a very big subject today, and that subject is about heaven and hell. There's seems to be popular today to talk about this subject, and there are many people, and the numbers are growing. If you listen, you'll hear it. The numbers are growing that there is no heaven and no hell. Well, if you can prove that, if you can believe that, life will be a lot better for you. Do whatever you want, because you don't have the big thing is that I've noticed is there's a lot more people saying there's no hell than people saying there's no heaven. Alright, it'd be a lot better if there's no hell to go to. Well, I'm going to show you some scriptures this morning that might change your mind about some things that you may be hearing. And the text we'll use is from the book of Matthew. In fact, let me just start here. Chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction." As they say in some circles, although the it looks green up here on the screen, this is the red writing. This is what Jesus said. So he said, "Broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And if you go on, you'll see the disciples said, "Well, man, we're in trouble, aren't we?" And they said, "It may be impossible with men, but all things are possible with God." And so there was a TV program on TV, many of you remember, with Monty Hall, and it's "Let's Make a Deal." You know, and the big deal with Monty was to have a couple of doors. You know, and you choose door one or two, or sometimes they'd have three, all right? There was always a choice that you had to make. And of course, you, as you well know, if you saw that program at all, there were great prizes, and then there were great faux prizes. I mean, there wasn't any prize at all, and people lost fortunes on that program choosing the wrong door. Eternity has rules like the game show. All right, you can choose gate one or gate two. You can choose heaven or hell. And the way you choose is that it's amazing that God entrusted our personal eternity on our ability to choose. He gave us a free will. That's been a blessing and a curse for mankind, because so many times we've just chosen the wrong thing. So he gave us a choice. We can choose gate one or gate two. Fake news says there's no heaven and there's no hell. Let me tell you a couple of theories that are out there. The body dies and goes to dust, and the soul and spirit go, who knows, Pluto. No, there was a bunch there that committed suicide about 30 years ago, believing that they were going to get in a spaceship of some kind and end up on Pluto or Saturn or some obscure place in the cosmos. So, you know, people really believe that. That's just one theory. So you live, you die, and that's kind of the end of it all. Or a spaceship picks you up and takes you somewhere. That's kind of a subset of that particular theory. The other one is the body goes back to dirt, and the soul and spirit go to heaven, because there's no hell. There's a very popular minister who had a big mega church, and he decided to, his name was Carlton Pearson, and Carlton Pearson decided to start preaching that there was no hell. Last count I had, he had about a church his size, you know. But thank goodness a lot of people just figured that out. Either they quit church altogether, or they just quit his church, and I'm not real sure. I mean, if there's no hell to worry about, I guess, why bother? And you just think about that for a little bit. If there's no heaven and there's no hell, if there's just heaven, but this whole life we've known has been a big joke, hasn't it? I mean, just do whatever you want to do. It doesn't make any difference because God loves us. And we're going to talk about that. God's great love for us. The third thing is the body goes to the grave and the spirit, the soul, goes to heaven or hell. Now, that's the one that I believe, but it doesn't matter whether I believe that or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe that or not, because those are the script things the Scriptures teach us. Let me digress for just a minute, because this is important. What you believe about things like this doesn't really matter. It only matters is what the truth is. You can believe you're a duck. You can quack till the chickens come home. But it won't make you a duck. Just because you believe that, people do that. The people believe they're dogs. They walk around barking all the time. It doesn't make them a dog. And so, things are what they are. People think they can fly, and they jump off of tall buildings. They discover very quickly that they can't fly. There was, I don't know if you all remember that television series several years ago that was on called Lonesome Dove. And one of the main evil characters always thought he could fly. And at the end of the series, they had him in jail, and they were going to hang him. And as he was getting ready to go down the steps from the jailhouse to the hangman's noose, he dove out the window. And the main character went down. The guy was dead on the street. And he said, well, I guess you couldn't fly after all. You know? So it's important. So how can we find the truth? In spiritual things, the only place I know of to find the truth is right here. You know, this is what we teach, this is what we preach, this is what we believe, and as we talked about last week, we can trust this book for a lot of good reasons. If you weren't here, I'd encourage you to either go on the internet and see the sermon, or you can listen to it, or you can ask the guys in the back, and they'll give you a copy of it. So it's important to understand that that's what we teach and preach. Well, as you know, I tell you my opinion many times, and my opinion is just what it is. It's just my opinion. So let's look at some of the tweets from God. God is going to tweet. And now some of you may think that's heresy to say that, but you know, he did show up in a dove, you know, so that's kind of tweety, you know, if you think about that. So there is no heaven or hell, and God would tweet that people will arrive at heaven or hell. And you think about that. That's the understatement of the war that I've ever made. They will arrive. You know, the soul of your spirit of you, when you breathe your last here, you're going to be at one of those two gates. I was telling Bob Lambert a little earlier this morning, and I know I'm a carnal man, but I didn't get in the kingdom because God loved me. Now, that's a fact that he did, and I can explain that, but that wasn't what I was thinking about. What I was thinking about is that if I didn't get right with God, I'd go to hell. And it was hellfire that brought me into the kingdom. Now, I know some people think that's not in vogue, especially grace preachers. They say, we need to preach the grace of God. We need to preach the grace of God, but we need to turn the heat up just a little bit every once in a while so people get the picture, okay? So I'm going to show you. We're going to go through what I believe is probably the definitive story that's in the red writing that Jesus said that'll help you to understand. I've read so much stuff in the last week or so about heaven and hell, I'm sick of it. You know, I've been searching and researching and going to the original language and just looking at it, and I thought, how am I going to put this all together? And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you use this story? It's in the red writing, Jesus said it, so that's what we're going to do, okay? Luke chapter 16, and we're going to kind of go through this piece at a time. Verses 19 through 23. This is a familiar story to you. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. That's pretty bad. The time came when the beggar died and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. That's a euphemism or another way, and I'll tell you about this in a moment. Abraham's side, Father Abraham, that's talking about the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God. It's where God dwells and people end up. So carried him to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, that's another word for hell, okay? Eternal punishment. In Hades, where he was in torment. I think you need to stop on that for just a minute. This is not a fun place. This is not where you go and you air condition the place, like the jokes say, you know. It's like you're not going to be able to air condition this place, you know. Yeah, global warming. Absolute global warming. Yeah. So where he was in torment. Man, we can't stand to have a hangnail, much less be in torment. But this is what this place is going to be like. He looked up and saw Abraham. Where did he see him? Far away. With, oh my goodness, the beggar and the sores, Lazarus by his side. Wow. You will die and you will arrive either where Lazarus is, or you're going to end up with the rich ruler. That's a fact. There's no other place. I know some of you came from a background and maybe into Catholicism where they speak about purgatory. Purgatory is a movie made about a Texas town. That's the closest you'll ever get to purgatory is you have to go to the movies to see it, okay? If you think you're going to die and go to a place and get scrubbed up, I've got some very good friends of mine that I love to have this discussion with. You know, I told a good friend of mine who practices Catholicism, and he really knows his religion very well. He's a great guy, just an awesome man. And he was telling me about this. And he's very well educated. He's an engineer. I mean, the guy can build buildings. I mean, he's been very successful. And I told him in a meeting I was in one day, he espoused the purgatory idea, and I said, for being such an educated guy, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. He said, how could you believe that? That this in purgatory it's got the flame isn't up all the way. It's not like hellfire. It's just kind of a low fire. You know, your stove, you just turn it down a little bit. You just kind of turn, and you just get kind of toasty. And you get toasty enough. And in that case, if you burn enough candles, or you pray enough, or say enough rosaries, you'll finally be toasty well, and then you can pop out the toaster, and you pop into heaven. You can't find a scripture anywhere on the planet. Now, some, and just so you'll know this, that some say, well, if you read the other part of the Bible that the Protestants don't have, the Maccabees, you will find that. I've looked. I can't find it there either. It's not that I don't know. I mean, it is so obscure. Why am I telling you that? Because it's important you realize you can be in heaven or you can be in hell, but you're not going any place in between. There's no second choice. There's no oops. In the kingdom of God, you know, you die, and you end up in toasty place, and you say, oh, I'm really screwed up here. You know, I'll just get toasty, and then as soon as the toast is over, I can go, and I'll be just fine, all right? Forget about it. That's not going to happen. So it's either heaven or it's hell, one of the two, nothing in between. The scriptures are overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming in the scriptures. Now, let me give you some euphemisms, some words that are used to describe heaven. It's heaven. You've heard that used, all right? A lot of times you'll see heaven is talking about the heavenly realm. It's talking about the atmosphere. You know, it refers to that a lot. But as far as the kingdom of God kind of thing, it's called paradise. Jesus said to the guy on the cross, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's called a garden. It's called a city. It's called the new earth. It's called the kingdom. It's called a better country. It's called a new house or a mansion. All of those and other words are used to describe this thing that I'm going to lump together in the concept of heaven, okay? Now, there are a lot of folks who have testimonies about heaven, near-death experiences. I've read books about it. I got Bob Watts here can tell you a story. Some idiot ran through a building that he happened to be in, and Bob wasn't fast enough to get out of the way, and it just ran over him. They thought he was dead. He was dead for a while. He's got a great story. We have it on radio right now if you're listening to WGON 103.7. It's what?
It starts Monday.
Oh, it starts Monday. Okay, it'll be on the radio. At, you know the times? Since you gave me that, huh? 10 and 3, all right? 103.7, you can hear Bob's story. And it's... Are y'all deciding back there? It is?
10 a.m. on Monday.
Okay, 10 and 3, all right. You got that? All right, anyway. And if just ask for a CD back there, and I'll give it to you. But anyway, he had a near-death experience, out-of-body experience, and it's an amazing story. I mean... So, and that's, he saw angels, all right? And so, you know, that. So that's his experience. Other people see a bright pathway. So there was a bright pathway before him. They saw a white figure. Some actually have experienced dialogue and conversations in the heavenly realm. Now, you may not believe their experience, but one thing's nice about an experience, you know it's true. All right? And we can choose to believe it or not believe it, but I choose to believe it. I've heard some amazing stories. People have seen family, all right? But people have also seen hell. They've gone to smoky places. In fact, I'm going to break something I didn't plan on doing. I asked Bob to share this story because he shared this story with me this morning, and I think it's one I hadn't heard. So, Bob, why don't you come up here? So everybody can see you. They won't crane their neck trying to turn around and see you. All right? And Bob will tell you a story that he told me about Ronald Reagan. Well, not the Ronald Reagan, but a Ronald Reagan.
Okay. I believe that this was on 60 Minutes, and someone might Google it and find out. And it's been several years ago, but it started out, the program said to meet Ronald Reagan, and it said it's not the Ronald Reagan you're thinking about, which was the president at the time. And this man was from eastern Tennessee, very, very poor area of the country, and he was really a bad actor type guy. He was a tough guy, fighter, just into everything. He had a girlfriend that the family didn't like him at all, which goes probably without saying. But they took off in a stolen car, robbing, shooting, stabbing, just the whole thing, to Florida. And he had come to a place where he was a heavy drinker, and he went to buy his alcohol. And going into the store where they sold it, there was a guy coming out when he was going in, and he was one of these guys at the time, I have the right of way regardless, and he pushed the guy down, and the guy fell into cases of bottles, and one of the bottles broke, and he came up and stabbed him, and he said, well, I'll be all right, there's nothing wrong with me, and the people around said, son, you need to get to a hospital pretty quick, you're in pretty bad shape. So they called an ambulance for him. And while he was in the ambulance, he started smelling smoke, a sulfur smell, and it was getting hot, and he thought, the ambulance is on fire. And he thought to himself, I'm going to probably die from bleeding, but the ambulance is on fire some kind of way. It's just on fire. I could smell the sulfur. I could smell the heat, feel the heat and the whole bit. And he realized all of a sudden he was in this very, very, very ominous place, and he saw people that he knew in the past that had passed away that were really bad actors like himself, and he said they would be in a, just come closer to him and closer to him, and they said, Ronnie, don't come here, there's no escape, there's just no way out of here. And he survived this, and he became a minister, and the program basically ended up a prison. He was administering to the prisoners, and he turned his life completely around because it frightened him so bad. And I think that you could probably Google this show and probably find it somewhere, but I think that was pretty obvious that there is another place, at least according to him.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to hear that story because that was so vivid. People have died or had near-death experiences and have seen a heavenly realm, or they've seen the unheavenly realm. And, you know, there's enough evidence of that. I mean, you just can't discount it. Enough people say something, you know, there's got to be some measure of truth in that. So, the thing about hellfire, Jesus used a word called Gehenna, all right? Place of Gehenna. Used it 11 times in his teachings, and used other words such as a fiery furnace, a fiery lake, a lake of burning sulfur, and eternal fire are also used. So those are imageries that tell us something about hell. Now you say, do you really believe that there's a place with fire? You're asking me, Pastor, you really believe that? You know, I can't answer that any more than I can't answer the question, is it literally heaven has streets of gold? I can tell you that the scriptures say that, right? Jesus said that, to refer to this place of heat and fire. So, you know, I wouldn't take a chance on it myself if I were you and you're listening here today. I mean, it's just something that, I mean, so maybe it's not like your stove, but those of you who know how to do such things, you can look at a welding torch and see some things that put out a lot of heat that don't look like anything you'd want to cook on. You know, sometimes you can't see a flame the way that you normally think of a flame. But if you put your finger in it, I promise you, you'll be toasted fingers. So in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 5, it says this, "But I forewarned you whom you shall fear. fear him which after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. So in other words, if you want to fear something, you want to be, that's something worth worrying about. You ought to worry about it for yourself if you're not a believer. You ought to worry about it for people you know who are not believers. Because as you're going to see right now, there's no way out of this. Let me get here. There we go. People cannot cross between heaven and hell. Let's go on with the story. So he called to him, this is the rich man in hell, in torment. He called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. So, you know, if Jesus was standing here, and you might say, did you mean fire? And he might say, you have a problem understanding the Greek language, you know, or Aramaic, whichever he was using at the time. You know, he said, in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Boy, there's the contrast right there. There's the comfort and there's agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So according to Jesus, when he told this story, said, once you're there, you're there. There's no getting out. The boundaries are set. Between us and you, there are boundaries. People don't like to hear about boundaries. There are boundaries of things that cannot be changed. But those who would want to leave there can't leave. So if you're talking to anyone, and you don't have to be a theologian, you just have to read this story. I mean, it's just plain as it can be. There is no way to cross over. Part of hell itself may be the agony of seeing heaven. I hadn't thought about this until I was actually going through it. So it said, and he called him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus. So evidently the rich guy in hell could see Abraham. You know, y'all remember this when the wall in Berlin fell and people from East Germany, East Berlin, were coming over into West Berlin, and they had the, you know, cameras, and they didn't have as many cameras as we have today, but I saw something that really struck me when I saw it. These people who were living in abject poverty in East Berlin came over where all the lights were and all the storefronts were, and they were just standing, and people just standing there looking at the goods that were for sale in West Berlin. They were looking at them. They didn't have them. That's a torment, to see things and not be able to have them. Whether it's food or water or the trinkets of life that we collect, there was a torment there. People rob and steal and kill to try to get things today because they're tormented by wanting something that somebody has. The greatest torment of all, of hell, if it's nothing else, if it's just being separated from God in the heavenly realm and the people who are enjoying it, and to be able to see it and not be able to do a thing about it to get it. My goodness, I think that'd be worse than the fire. That'd be worse than the fire. And he could see that. And he wanted it. He wanted to get free of this place where he was. But there was no way. And he said, Abraham says here that even so that those who want to go from here to you cannot. Now, I don't see Lazarus in this conversation at all. Doesn't seem like he's aware of what's going on. But maybe the heavenly angels might know and be able to see the tormented, the place of torment, Gehenna, hell, Hades, whatever name you want to put on it, the lake of fire. But the torment is that those in hell, it appears from this story, I would give it a pretty good high probability, will be able to see the heavenly realm and not be able to get there. Boy, that'd be horrible to see your mom and dad in heaven and you not be there. Your brothers and sisters and not be able to be there. That'd be hell. Wouldn't that be hell? Oh, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you when you told me about Jesus. I should have cried out to God while I had a chance. Can you do anything now? Could you just give me a little water to quench my thirst? Could you give me some relief? And there's none. These are facts. The fake news people have their opinion. I have the scriptures backing me up. And that's the torment of it all. Some would say they don't believe in hell because it's just too cruel. Why would a good God do that? My response is, I don't think a good God would do it. People do it to themselves. The scriptures say that everyone has the opportunity to receive Christ. Everybody gets that opportunity. I believe this about God. I don't think God is the kind of person, if I can use that word about him, that would take any joy or any pleasure in someone going to hell, to create someone so that they would be in hellfire. But I think he does everything possible so that people have an opportunity. If you're here today, if you're listening, if you've heard this before, here's the opportunity. This is the moment in time that you've been born for, in the valley of decision. And what will your decision be? You just blow it off, just a one-on-one preacher, just beating his gums about some old book that doesn't mean a hill of beans and God loves us so much that he wouldn't do that to us. You can believe that and you can end up in torment. You can be just like the guy in the story. That's where you'll be. You'll be in hell looking up, trying to get some relief, and there won't be any. It'll be too late. There was a guy, Pat and I met many years ago, when we first became saved, and he was a singer and a songwriter. And he wrote a song that was very, very popular at that time. And the title of the song was, I've Got Plenty of Time. And he talks about in the lyrics of the story how he'd get up on Sunday morning, go to church, and listen to the same old sermons here time and time again. He said, making money is evil, having fun is a crime, but I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. The guy who was with me, the day I got saved, he was a real soul winner for Jesus, and when he'd win people to the Lord, he'd write their name in the back of his book. All Bibles have a blank page back there, and the back of his book was just filled with names and dates of people that he led to the Lord, and there was a blank spot there, and right in the middle of it all. So what is that? So it was one of my college buddies I was in college with, and I shared the gospel with him, and he said that he just wanted to wait. He waited one day too long. He died that day. And there's a blank spot in Ralph Montgomery's Bible because of that. So how much time do you have? My daddy was working in a factory, and my dad was an old-time evangelist, got saved when he was an old-timer. He got saved at 65 years old. He's working in a factory. My dad was a laborer. He's a rough, tough guy. And he told people about Jesus, and I've made fun of him, and some of them believed him. And there was a grandfather was there, and his son, and they say grandfather because the son's son started working there. He was 18 years old. And my dad was talking to this young boy and telling him about Jesus Christ and how God could change his life. And the grandfather came over. He saw my daddy talking to him. He knew my dad would talk to him about the Lord. He said, Angelo, don't be feeding that boy with all of that blankety-blank stuff. He's got his whole life ahead of him. Let him sow some wild oats. He doesn't need to hear all this. 18-year-old boy went home and died that night. Now, that's not, I didn't read about that. That's a true story. Absolute truth. Do you know what happened the next day? Grandfather and son showed up to see Angelo. They ran him down. Angelo, tell us, where is our boy? Where is he? Well, Dad said, I can't tell you that. I can tell you this. I gave him enough of the gospel that if he believed what I said, I could believe he could be in heaven. But I don't know. I don't know. The grandfather and the father got saved. Last I heard, the father was preaching the gospel, became a minister. I don't know. See, there's no guarantees. I just went to the doctor for my 6-month checkup. And when I was leaving, he said, I'll see you in 6 months. I said, oh, I got a guarantee I'm going to be here for 6 more months? He said, I can't guarantee you're going to be here 6 more seconds. I said, but if you're here, I'll see you in 6 months. It's too cruel. Well, if you believe that, do something about it. Why not tell some people you love about Jesus Christ? Well, what if they turn me away? It's not your problem. No, I don't know how to do it. We'll learn. Would you do it for me? No, you do it yourself. You ain't going to believe me. Family and friends have got a better chance of believing you than believing me. They don't want to be from a hole in the ground. You got the best chance. When I got saved, I told my mom and dad about it. I couldn't even find the scriptures to tell about it. I just told them what happened to me. They both got saved. Amazing. The wife got saved. I told you last week, a whole bunch of my family got saved because of it. The departed are in heaven, they're in hell, and they're alive. They're alive. Abraham was alive. Lazarus was alive. The rich man was alive. They're all alive. And with their eternal rewards. There's no heaven in our hell. The tweet from God is, people will choose between heaven and hell. This is the last part of this story. He answered, this is the rich man, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. How many brothers you got? Sisters you got? Those of you listening, how many? Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Moses and the prophets. This is it. If this isn't good enough to get people saved, they won't get saved any other way. Even if somebody came from the dead and said, don't go to this place of torment. Oh, there's a heaven to go to. It'll be too late. Oh, Pastor, you're just trying to scare us. Well, I hope so. Somebody said this morning, I don't know who it was, well, we don't hear much preaching about heaven and hell. And that's true. I don't preach about it very much. I like to preach about the goodness of God and the grace of God. And maybe it's my fault. Maybe I should do it more often because I believe in it. So, well, you're a grace preacher. You believe God does it all. Sure, I believe in the grace of God. But I also believe in the grace of God and let you choose to go to hell if that's what you want to do. You ought to read a book. There's a movie coming out about it called The Case for Christ, written by Lee Strobel's, and it'll give you so much evidence that you couldn't possibly not believe in God. He was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and when he went out to set out to prove that the Bible wasn't true, that God wasn't who he said he was, and there was no heaven and no hell, and when he got finished his investigation, he interviewed I don't even know how many people, and interviewed him and listened to him, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he declared that Jesus is the Christ, and he's serving God today. But the only way you're going to get it is, It's not enough for you to say, well, Pastor Morris said there's a heaven and a hell. No, that's not it. That's nothing. I could say anything I want. I could be wrong, and I am wrong about this. But you have to be able to have an authority, and the authority is the Word of God. It's Moses, the Old Testament is talking about. It's the prophets. It's what God said, all right? That's the evidence. That's the evidence. And the Holy Spirit gives witness and testimony that what they said is true. That's how people get saved. That's how you got saved. The Holy Spirit said, yes, this is true. And you responded to it. Life is full of choices from Adam and Eve in the two garden and the garden with the two trees, and they chose wrong. And we suffer the consequences of that today. To choose between heaven and hell, believing in Jesus or not believing in him. The Scriptures are the only place that you'll find the choice for eternity. In the Old Testament, it was Abraham, Moses, and prophets. In the New Testament, it's Jesus, the apostles, and the testimony of the saints. My goodness, if you won't believe the red writing, what are you going to believe? Well, I'll just wait. You're out there listening today? Yeah, I'll just wait. I'd be like that 18-year-old boy. Won't make a difference. You'll find out. You'll find yourself like the rich ruler in the fires and torment of hell, and wondering, how can I get out of this? What about my loved ones? What about my friends? What about my family? It's too late. Too late. They need to be warned by the living, because the dead can't come back and say a word. Nobody's coming back from heaven. Nobody's coming back from hell to sound the alarm. The alarm is you. Go read Ezekiel chapter 33 and read the story of the watchman on the wall. It tells the story. I'll give you a quick synopsis of it. It said, if the watchman sounds the alarm and the people heed the alarm, they'll be saved. If the watchman doesn't sound the alarm and the city is overtaken, it's the watchman's fault. But if the watchman sounds the alarm and the people don't heed, it's their fault. So you're a watchman on the wall. All you have to do is just tell them. It's not so difficult. It's not so difficult. This is a passage of Scripture. This is the definitive place about heaven and hell. And then the most famous Scripture of all, John 3:16. So it doesn't take a lot. You don't have to know a lot. The current fake news that's deceiving Christians is that there's no hell. God is love, and he won't send souls into eternal punishment. Here's my question. Are you willing to take a chance on that? Well, God just loves me. You know, he's love, and he's so... we paint God as some kind of, ooey-gooey, lovey, oh, God loves me, and everything's going to be fine. Oh, let them read about the wrath of God. Nobody wants to talk about that. They just read your Scriptures. You want to fear something? You fear those that could kill the body and send your soul to hell. You want to be afraid of that? It's something to be afraid of. But God is love, Pastor. You tell us about the preaching and the gospel, how good it is and how good God is. God is good. Let me tell you what. The promises of God are not for the unbeliever. All the stuff that I preach is for believers. To build you up on your most holy faith. To get you excited in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's one of my missions to do. Is to try to tell you how good it is. How much God really loves you and all that he did for you. Those are all good things to say. But that's only that you see the love of God demonstrated. That God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believed in what he was doing that day to demonstrate the love of God. That's the place you want to go. You want to see the something to fear about God? And just go to this story. Just use Google hell and go read about it. So the story is there, just as true. We're saved by grace, and as everybody's saved. That's the thing that's going around today. In fact, the guy who wrote the shack, that's where he is. I'm really upset with him. In fact, he's got a TV program on TBN. I advise you not to watch it. I advise you not to get his latest book. I've read some on it. You know, he doesn't believe in hell anymore. He believes that everybody's going to heaven. That God loves us so much. He took the truth of God. Remember I told you, I started off the sermon and said that the truth pushed too far becomes heresy, and that's where he is today. And I love The Shack. I love the movie. But from the time he did that 20 years ago, whenever he wrote it, till today, the training wheels came off his bike and he crashed. He got too smart. I can name you names of people that are doing that. I can tell you, I can name churches for you right here in this town. I'm teaching that right now. Here's one. In fact, somebody came in and filled this pulpit, and I hope all of you caught it. I think I mentioned it when I got back from out of town. They said, we're saved by the faith of God, Christ, and not by faith in Christ. You know what that's saying? That's saying it's a fixed deal. Because God's faith is perfect, and so if his faith saves you, it don't matter what you believe. That's universalism. But it's cloaked. You say, in the original language, honey, I've looked at the original language. I've studied it out. And it's not true. The word of or in is not even in the original text. It's an interpreter's, a translator's idea of what it should be. I'm telling you, there are so many other scriptures that say, you must believe. The big thing in the New Testament is this. Are you a believer or an unbeliever? Are you lost or are you found? Are you destined for heaven or are you destined for hell? And the difference that makes that happen is your faith and belief in what Christ did. Now, I don't want to preach another sermon, but let me just say this. I'm going to hit this real quickly. When you believe, something so wonderful happens that it's absolutely irreversible. You are born again. Not of the corruptible seed of man, Adam's, your flesh and blood, but of the incorruptible Word of God. That's a W word. Remember we talked last week about Jesus is the Word of God? When you believe in the Word of God, you believe in what Christ did, you are born again by that word of what he did. And you, Paul said it this way. He said, old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. When you're a believer, there's a lot to talk about what's happened to you. But the unbelievers, go read John 3:18. You know John 3:16, John 3:18. He that believes not on the Son of God is condemned already, and the wrath of God abides upon him. But God loves us, Morris. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He will not send us to hell. Hell is full of people believing that. Choose you this day who you will serve. It's a choice. And you're not free from making a choice. To choose nothing already has made a choice. That's how I got saved. I said earlier, I didn't get saved because God loved me. I got saved because the guy who showed me the scriptures of what I about God's love and what sin does and John 3:16. And when I said, well, I want to think about this, I was like the song that guy wrote, well, I've got plenty of time. I was only 32 years old at the time. I said, I got plenty of time. I was an analyst. I was a computer dude. I get paid a lot of money to analyze things. I want to think about it. Thank goodness James Walter Hickman had more sense than I did. And he said, okay, you can do that, but I just want you to know, John 3:18 is for you. The wrath of God's already on you. And if you don't make it back to Slidell from Picayune, Mississippi, you will die and you will be in the sinner's hell. Now, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dumbest knife in the drawer either, all right? And I thought, what have I got to lose? I used to smoke. And the guy asked me to go, when I first got saved, his buddy was dying of cancer in the hospital. And Roger asked me to go pray for his buddy. I was a newbie. And I went to the hospital. His friend was in the hospital, the Flight on Memorial Hospital. had a trach right in his throat, had throat cancer. He was dying. I mean, he died not too long after I saw him. And he wanted a cigarette. He said, I wish I could get a cigarette, just stick it in, I could smoke it. And I'm addicted to cigarettes. And I walked out of that. I didn't say anything to Roger, but I said to myself, you know, Morris, you're pretty stupid. If you keep smoking and you end up in a bed next to him doing that, you are an idiot of idiots. And I said, and I thought to myself, being the analyst I am, I said, but if I quit smoking and I end up with a shock, you know. Took me a long time to break the habit, but I finally got over it. That wasn't enough. I needed a little bit more help. I finally got over that. So, I mean, to me, I'm going to go to opinions now, right? So this is just me, all right? I'd say the sinner's prayer and ask Christ in my life just in case. You know? What do you got to lose? So what happens if, which I don't believe, but let's just say the other people are white. Suppose you die and we dig a hole and we put you in it and that's the end of you. You don't end up on Pluto. You don't end up in heaven and you don't end up in hell. What have you lost? Good life, try to serve God, right? What you going to lose? So what if you receive Christ into your life and you end up in heaven, and when you get there, he says, Morris, I don't know where Morris got all that stuff from. He was so wrong on the 26th of March in the year 2017 when he preached that sermon. He was so wrong. Listen, I love you guys so much, I wouldn't send anybody to hell. Everybody's here. He said, Morris, he told us he didn't know everything, and he was right. Look how wrong he was. But then what if you die and you end up in hell? Jesus is the only way. He's not a way. He's the only way. So, make it be mine. That's the end of the sermon. There is a heaven and there is a hell. You decide where you're going. And if you're born again, hallelujah, I'll see you there. And if you're not, so long. It's been nice knowing you. Let's all stand. I hope this helped you. I know you. Everybody in here that I know is a believer in Jesus Christ. But, you know, every once in a while, some knucklehead is in the congregation. I've heard of preachers getting saved, preaching their own sermons about heaven and hell. And they come to the realization through the power of the Holy Spirit they never really got saved. You know, maybe you. Now, if I was a real good preacher, good old-fashioned evangelist, I'd make you walk the aisles and lay up here and cry and lament, and we'd say, oh my gosh, they were lost. They didn't know Jesus. Man. I thought for sure they were saved. They looked saved. They spoke saved. They acted saved. Surely they must be saved. Maybe you're not. I don't know. The only person on the planet knows that is you. If you are, rejoice. If you're not, get saved. I'm a legion of sinners prayer. Simple little prayer. Same one that's got me saved. Not the exact words, but the same one. If you prayed the prayer I prayed, it would sound like this. Because all I did was cry. Jim Hickman led me in the prayer. And this is what he said. Bow your head, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you were born, that you died on the cross, and that you rose from the dead. I don't understand it. I never will understand it. But right now, as best I know how, I confess to you that I believe it. I know that you died for my sins. Would you take all my sins away from me? Put them as far as the east is from the west. And let me live my life serving you and spending eternity with you. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and if you meant it, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, if you meant it, the Bible says that you are saved, redeemed, destined for heaven, the inheritor of all the promises of God. All the promises of God become yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer and you want to let me know about it before you leave, I'd like to hear about it. I'm not going to wait till you walk the aisle. I am a cardinal man. I don't want to break my rule. I don't like people walking the aisle. But if you walk the aisle in your heart and your mind in that prayer today, that's good enough for me. But I'd like to know. You can let me know before you leave. With that said, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hopefully we'll see you next week and we'll be talking about Easter.
Amen.
Amen? That's it. Bye-bye. Thank you for being here.